Hello and welcome to the Amplify podcast, brought to you by Business Gateway. I'm Malcolm Triggs, and for the last time this series, I'm joined by Harris Tweed Hebrides, Creative Director, Mark Hogarth, and Business Gateway's Phil McCready. Today, we're concluding our discussion of the story of Harris Tweed, an island industry which has undergone a complete transformation over the last decade. Industrial transformation aside, though, I wanted to know if Harris Tweed Hebrides has effectively given a new lease of life to an entire island community.
I think it has, but you know, we have to give credit to Highlands and Island Enterprise. We have to give credit to a very forward-thinking group of people at the Harris Tweed Authority, led by Lorna McCauley, who I've worked very closely with over the last 8 years as well. So there's that element of team that I don't think really might have been there in the glory days, you know, where there was 12 mills, there was competition. Similarly in the Borders, I'm sure as well, you know, there was that element of competition. Competition can be great, but if competition stifles the ability to talk to each other and work as a cohort, then it can also be a little bit of a negative dynamic.
You told me once before, Mark, that timing was essentially key to the venture that you've undertaken as a business. How so? Is this something to do with the fact that there seems to be, you know, a renewed interest in craft in general? So whether we talk about food or drink or fabric, would you say that that's to do with, you know, the timing of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Harris Tweed Hebrides, what we did would have been a success, but perhaps it wouldn't have happened quite as fast. You know, maybe it would have been more of a gradual, you know, production increase over 3 or 4 years rather than the incredible figures that we've managed to produce. And I think, yeah, there's definitely links into the into the food industry, as you mentioned, that element of provenance of, you know, where does your food come from rather than just consuming it. And that's become very important. And also this redefinition of luxury. Luxury before was how something looked. It was the aesthetic. Therefore, you know, cashmere, silks, gold all easily fall into the luxury category. But, you know, a relatively rough 100% wool tweed might not have. But by opening up the kitchen, you see the luxury of how your food's produced, and by opening up your mill and looking at that very, very complex process, then you can define that as luxury. And I think one of the big successes that we have managed to have is we've gone from 5 or 6 years ago of being deemed to be that, rough Scottish tweed, mm-hmm. albeit with a good story, to people, writers, designers, actually not wincing when Harris Tweed is described as being a luxury product.
Mm-hmm. Great, and I'm interested to learn, what are your key markets today then, Mark?
The number one market is split actually between Japan and here in the UK. And I have to actually say that one of our big growth markets is Scotland, which is great. So we've got a couple of really good clients in Scotland, obviously helped by the exchange rate a little bit as well. But that is really a fantastic achievement here in Edinburgh and the Royal Mail, you know, and also over at Walker Slater and Victoria Street, making really good product, both at Kiltane and indeed at Walker Slater. And, you know, tourists have got the chance to actually buy a quality product. I think that's great. Because at one point, you know, we had whiskey, but then maybe a lot of textiles that were being made cheaply, abroad and brought back into Scotland. And I think if we can act as a model, you know, then there's definitely the other brands that are making similarly good products in the Borders up at Johnson's of Elgin. And I think they'll be doing equally well.
Great, thanks, Mark. Phil, just on the back of what Mark was saying there, is essentially building relationships and securing partners here in Scotland. So whether that's with buyers or distributors or anyone else, obviously that's crucial to business success. To what extent can Business Gateway provide support in this area?
The idea really is that businesses need to work together. And I think it's taken a long time for competitors to understand that by working together, not in every element of business, but in some elements of business, it actually has a great benefit. I mentioned last night that I'd had that conversation about the lack of young people going into the textile industry, for example. Now, they're already coming together, businesses in the Borders coming together to see how they can approach the high schools with a view to developing the young workforce, as it's been called. So there's that element. The idea that Business Gateway, we provide opportunities for businesses to network. And I think that's a really important thing. It's about bringing businesses together. We run a number of workshops or masterclasses on different subjects, but those subjects are about sort of passing on knowledge to the businesses. But most of the best things that actually come out of these workshops is the fact that businesses meet each other, can sort of swap stories with each other and best practice. So it's about helping that business mentality to learn from each other rather than competing. Is something we promote quite a lot.
Excellent. And presumably also with if we turn to export, this is something, Mark, that you're no doubt familiar with as well. You presumably spend a lot of your time visiting buyers abroad. And it's also something that we look at in the current issue of Amplify magazine. So again, talking about Business Gateway, where's the help? You know, how can Scottish Development International help, perhaps, and indeed yourselves?
Sure. The first stage, I guess, for any business looking to export is to come back in, speak to the business advisor. And that business advisor will then tend to introduce them to a front end of SDI, Scottish Development International. So the SDI advisors, the role then is to discuss with them what marketplaces might be good for them, and often to discourage them from looking at different marketplaces. So SDI have knowledge of the world, essentially, and are happy to share that with any size of business that are looking to export. So by bringing the business in, we can talk to them about why they're looking to expand into a different country. Often for where we are, Scottish borders, a different country is just on the other side of an imaginary line. England is actually exporting. So, you know, we can actually look at them and trying to get them to encourage them to look at that first. But then, you know, you can have, you know, a number of surgeries held with the SDI advisors. We run a number of workshops aimed at working with businesses, looking at helping them on various elements of exporting. Also within the Scottish borders and around the country in various places, there's an export association, an export club, if you like, in the borders, which is private sector run. And what they do is they come together once a month, and it's a number of exporters come together to talk to each other on various parts of exporting. But they're very keen on promoting that to new exporters, so they come in and actually work with them there. So I guess that, you know, as a first instance, you know, going in and speak to your Business Gateway advisor wherever you are around the country will help to open up access to different support that's available depending on the size of your business again and depending on what kind of areas you're looking to go into. And working in partnership with SDI, we can provide that advice to the client.
Great, and it certainly seems that Scotland is a place where there are so many products now with masses of export potential, Harris Street, you know, being a great example. So returning to Harris Street, if we may, Mark, how did the authority react to the direction in which Harris Street Hebrides was taking the fabric?
Very, very supportive. We've actually worked really, really closely. I actually have a very strong relationship because Harris Tweed is the brand. The beautiful thing about Harris Tweed, nobody can actually own it. Similar to Champagne as well. You know, you've got Bollinger, you've got Louis Roederer, you've got all the Moët companies. Nobody can own the brand Champagne. Harris Tweed Hebrides have had a lot of success. We are a mill, I guess. You know, by definition, we also are a brand as well because we're doing particular things with the fabric. But ultimately, the brand is Harris Tweed. So it's in everybody's interest that we've got a really strong relationship with Harris Tweed and the Harris Tweed Authority. Some of the production photography that they've done, the video that they've done, particularly with the photographer Ian Lawson, have been absolutely seminal and very influential around other craft products because, you know, actually what he's managed to do is sell the islands. And by selling the islands in a very subtle manner, he's just put the Tweed in, has been part of that integral dynamic of, you know, society, culture, and that real captivating that soulful relationship of the two.
Thanks, Mark. And what about mill workers and weavers? They were no doubt welcoming the prospect, you know, of industry regeneration, but perhaps also somewhat protective of the product and what it was going to be used for.
Well, I think formerly when Harris Tweed was shipped off in its millions of metres, never to be seen again, there wasn't really that connection. But and this is another happy accident, but I knew that we had to broaden out the demographic. So I went to people like Top Man on the high street, re-engaged with the high street, but at the trend-setting level of the high street. So now we've got this beautiful dynamic of mill workers coming in and, you know, okay, they learn their trade, they learn their skills in the mill, but to actually be able to see the product and to have the product revered by their peers and also, you know, involved in all these really quite cool marketing campaigns adds a little bit of pride, and that's absolutely key in retaining a workforce but also retaining an engaged workforce.
Mm-hmm. And presumably also sort of appealing to, you know, setting yourself up as being appealing to new generations coming into work for the industry, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really, really strong carrot to have.
Excellent. Finally, consumers. So when and how did you know that your venture was essentially going to be a success?
I don't think we ever did. I just think once the... once you roll that stone down the hill and you're hoping to gather moss, you know, you get a bit of moss and that gives you a bit more confidence and you get a little bit more. You know, I think you get comfortable with rejection at the early stage, and once you're comfortable with rejection, I'm not quite one for the cold calls, but I have done a few lukewarm calls over a period of time, and you know, what might not be right at one stage for the client doesn't mean it's not going to be right for the next stage. I think the other thing that we're also so conscious of is the people, because ultimately you can talk about clients, you can talk about marketing, and you can talk about your business to business relationship, but we're making a fabric that we are hoping to sell because of the quality of that fabric and indeed the branding and the story behind it. And in order to do that, you ultimately have to engage with the people, and you can't just leave that up to the designers, solely to the designers and the fashion houses that you're dealing with. So, you know, we've had a few successful mostly guerrilla marketing campaigns. Myself and Brian Wilson are pretty expert at you know, getting a lot from a little.
Excellent, excellent. And presumably on that note as well, there was you know, a certain amount of work to be done in market research before you started walking into these new markets.
Yeah, and that's again where Islands Enterprise were really key, because they provided significant market resources. And as Phil said earlier, that may not be, you know, a very confident, yeah, you have to target this market. It may be more of a sturdy, soft, maybe don't go to that market. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, when you're starting a new business, as Harris Tweed Hebrides was, it's not necessarily about the successful decisions you make. It's about limiting the mistakes that you make.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thanks, Mark. So Phil, if we talk about marketing, Mark's obviously just mentioned there these campaigns that they ran. How does Business Gateway go about discussing marketing with businesses looking to perhaps take a new direction?
I think the first thing to mention is that marketing is fundamental for any business. You know, there's not an option as to whether you market or not. You know, you're marketing your business and everything you actually do. The understanding of where a business is actually at, what stage a business is at, is crucial for this, because, you know, you have got anything, remember, from a sort of one-man band to big industries. So within that, there are different degrees of how a business can actually market themselves. Again, I sound like a broken record, but the first stage of that is to actually speak to the Business Gateway advisor to see where they're actually at. And you know, if you look at big marketing campaigns now, these can actually be done for relatively cheap and sometimes nothing. You know, a social media campaign, for example, can be done for nothing. You know, it's just a bit of time, a bit of investment, and a bit of knowledge is what you're actually doing, I guess. So starting off, we run a number of marketing workshops. We run through the Digital Boost campaign, a lot of online workshops and things that we can actually inform people of marketing online or how they can actually promote their websites better, for example. There are a number of things that can get done above that, depending again on the stage and the growth aspirations of the business. You might look at actually help giving support to write a marketing plan and then actually delivering that marketing plan. So there may be sort of grant funding available depending on what the business is aiming to do. So the support ranges really from anything to sort of a chat with a business advisor, which might help them to actually direct some time, I guess, within the business. So we're coming back to the working on the business. Marketing is very much working on the business rather than in the business. So how they can actually identify some time that they can actually dedicate to that marketing. Through to if they're looking to get to go overseas, for example, we can provide them with some marketing information, market research that can actually go there. And help them inform what their decision-making process is going to be.
Great. And as you say there, I think it's important to iterate the fact that when it comes to marketing, you know, not everything requires, you know, the Queen's bank account, if you like. There are things that you can do very cheaply, if not for free. So Mark, you know, as you mentioned there, we were talking about social media. You guys are obviously active on social media and you've got a very nice website set up. Would you say that's an important part of your strategy is changing the tone and engaging on social media and such like?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have done that over a period of 6 years. I think you really got to try to change your website. You've got to change maybe every 3 or 4 years, a little bit tighter if you're actually dealing with the consumer as well. If you're doing a retail product, maybe even, you know, every 3 or 4 months, you probably have to change what's on your homepage, because whether we like it or not, that is the market that you're in. If you're in fashion and textiles and you're actually looking to appeal, it's a very competitive market. And it's, you know, it's about being fast, but also being good. I think there's a danger sometimes you can rush into changing things for the sake of change, but it's about content, I guess, is the key word nowadays, and your quality of content. And you know, whether you're in the luxury sector and you want to have a slightly slower approach to doing that, or whether you're in fast fashion, then I think it's about quality of content and having that voice as well, which is really important. I think at Harris Tweed we've got a really nice voice, you know, which is not the oversell. It's just really the informative tone of, this is what we are, this is what we're doing, this is who we're engaging with.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent, and it certainly seems to be working. So if we can round up on this one, what are the current figures for the industry? So the meterage, employment, we've discussed employment figures, so meterage, and what's the long-term outlook here?
Well, we had a real strong year in 2015, an exceptional year. I think we went through at 1.6 million meters. That has you know, tapered slightly, so we came in at about 1.5 million meters for 2016, and that sets the bar again for this year. I think if we can keep it there, it fluctuates. The old guard in the textiles industry, the agents talk about the 7-year cycle, you know, it's you'd build up for 2 years, you know, and after the third or fourth year you begin to plateau, you come down for a few years. I completely go against that. I think that we can, you know, really gain, not necessarily in meterage, but it's in quality as well, because it's the quality of the products that you're dealing with through the clients that you're dealing with that might actually give you a little bit of a boost in the middle sector or the volume sector of the market as well. But I think sometimes statistics can be, you know, they can be a little bit, you know, well, not as what they might seem. So for me, 1.5 million meters of real quality product that is giving you brand equity, I would take that over 1.8 million meters of stuff that's maybe a little bit more generic.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And very lastly, where do you see the business in a decade's time?
Well, it's a long decade, having almost done a decade in it. I think we will continue to be seen as a fabric of fashion, but I think we'll diversify further. The key for me is to find markets within markets, whether you take that geographically. So perhaps for the last 3 or 4 years, we've performed good in Bavaria, but maybe not necessarily so good in Berlin and Hamburg. So that's something that will get our attention. And, you know, going broader to that, we have got an incredible interiors furniture company that we deal with in Preston, but maybe we can find one in Dusseldorf as well.
Excellent. Thanks for that. So Mark Hogarth from Harris Tweed Hebrides, Phil McCready, Business Gateway, thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to the Amplify podcast. We hope you've enjoyed hearing the story of Harris Tweed Hebrides, where we've discussed Scotland's textile industry.
If you went to places like Hoyt or Selkirk in the Borders, then, you know, people were either farmers or they would be working in the textile sector in the mills.
The decline of Scotland's textile industry.
Still, I'm having conversations with mill owners where they're saying how hard they're finding it to get young people coming into the mills.
And the industry's ultimate transformation.
You can't convince people to buy your product from a negative perspective. So I think we examined the process and the beauty of the product, and I think importantly engaged in the youth. You are investing in the mindset of the islanders as well, which is that this is not just an employment that can last for 6 months of the year. It's not just something that's going to be for a couple of years before. It's an investment in that mindset that this industry is on the bounce and is going to guarantee employment for the foreseeable future.
Search Business Gateway Amplify and subscribe to the podcast. And be sure to check out the Amplify magazine while you're there. If you've been inspired by today's discussion, head over to Business Gateway's website for more information. With local advisors and practical workshops all across Scotland, Business Gateway can provide you with free, impartial advice and guidance to help you take your business to new heights, whether you're trying to find finance, aiming to develop your digital marketing strategy, or simply looking to chat something through. Until next time, goodbye.